What's up, everyone? Aaron Nagler here, PackersNews.com. Nagler's never right. The Gotta Win 5 in a Row edition, starting this Sunday at Lambeau Field, where the Packers have dropped 3 straight. The Packers facing off against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who get back their starting quarterback in Jameis Winston after he missed 3 games with a bum shoulder. He is back at practice. He will be back for the Buccaneers. And the Packers, as I said, have to win 5 in a row to even begin to entertain making the postseason, to even think about bringing back one Aaron Charles Rodgers into the fold as their starting quarterback. Because let's face it, if they lose on Sunday, then the season is pretty much over. I know my colleague Tom Silverstein wrote that it was over on Sunday night after they dropped the game to the Steelers. I tend to think they have a chance here. They have a shot. Now, it's an outside shot. It's a long shot. This is a team that has won 1 out of 5 games that they've played without Rodgers, and now they've got to go on a 5-game tear. They haven't shown anything in the last couple weeks to show that they can do that. Yes, they played a pretty good game against the Steelers, but is that sustainable? Is that something that we're going to see week in and week out over the course of the next month? I'm suspect, to say the least. But, like I said, the possibility is there. There's no doubt about it. I thought, obviously, there were some really nice things done on offense from the game plan, the way they attacked some of the Steelers' coverages to get Hundley a couple of nice, easy, clean looks. The touchdown to Randall Cobb on their first series was a fantastic design to take advantage of a specific coverage from the Steelers. They got exactly what they wanted. The safety basically followed Jordy Nelson's route into the middle of the field, leaving Randall Cobb wide open on the wheel route, which is a route that they use for Randall quite a little bit when Rodgers is under center. They haven't used it a ton with Hundley at quarterback, but you saw the result, big-time touchdown, wide open up the left sideline. It's something that we've seen again and again, not just when Hundley is under center, but even with Rodgers under center this year, the Packers have done very good work in their first kind of 15, 20 plays, their opening script, if you will. Week after week, they've done a good job of taking the week to look at their opponents' weaknesses, their tendencies, and to take advantage of that. Where trouble has come, again, not just with Hundley, but also with Rodgers, trouble has come when they've had to adjust to the adjustments. That's happened week in and week out, and I think, you know, that game against the Steelers was no different. I think McCarthy was really trying to search for something there throughout the second half until that second-to-last drive, that 12-play, 77-yard drive. I thought that was probably the best Hundley's played all year on that specific drive. But yeah, that's something that they're going to have to, if they are going to reel off 5 straight here, that is absolutely something they are going to have to figure out. Because right now, they're doing very good work on offense during their openers. And then when things get into kind of free flow mode, so to speak, it really seems like McCarthy is hunting and pecking up and down his play sheet to try and find stuff that works. And now, you got to tip your cap to the other teams. Obviously, they get paid too, and they're making good adjustments, but this is something, if the Packers, like I said, if the Packers want to go on a run, this is what they're going to have to do. But like mentioned a little earlier, the Steelers, that's a very good football team. You have to think they played down to the Packers a little bit. They were without one of their best offensive weapons in Juju Schuster. And there's no doubt that they have a history of doing this, of kind of taking teams for granted and playing down to their level. But that is still one of the best teams in the league, and the Packers played them tough in their house. So if you're looking for, little hints of hope to cling to as you wait for the Packers to kick off Sunday against the Bucks, then, that's something you definitely look and you hope that they can continue going forward. This Buccaneers team is interesting because they've got a lot of talent on offense, and they could give the Packers some serious problems on that side of the ball. Mostly because they have a quarterback in Jameis Winston who, while not a superstar yet, he can make all the throws, he can make plays, and he could give them real trouble on third downs, which is obviously where the Packers have struggled. Funnily enough, not quite as much as maybe you would think on third and long, but in third and medium, 6 to 12 yards, say, the Packers have been pretty abysmal. And Winston and his complement of pass catchers, especially Mike Evans, could give the Packers a big-time headache. Although DeSean Jackson has not been practicing for the Buccaneers so far this week, and that could really help out a Green Bay secondary, which is, look, Kevin King hasn't practiced either. And so that could mean we have a viewing of Devon House and Josh Hawkins on the perimeter and Marius Randle along the inside at the star position, which I got to be honest, with House and Randle, I think they can survive. But Hawkins is a major liability. And I know he had a good camp, and I know he's got speed, and I know they like his upside, but I haven't seen much of anything since some promising play in training camp to tell me that he's ready to play down in and down out in the NFL. He still looks very much like a project. So you got to think the Buccaneers will attack there. On the flip side, I think the Packers can make some hay here, dependent on Brett Hundley being the sound decision maker that we saw in Pittsburgh and Chicago, and not the guy we saw against the Ravens, who basically gave that game away with his turnovers. And it's interesting to look at how much better he's played on the road than he has in Lambeau. And I think there are some obvious circumstances there, whether it's the game plan that was given to him against the Ravens and the fact that he was facing one of the most opportunistic secondaries in the league, to the Saints game, which was his first NFL start, his first legitimate start and action in the NFL. So there are things that have led to those performances in Lambeau, but the Packers have dropped three straight now at Lambeau Field. It's pretty unheard of under Mike McCarthy. I mean, they have had their losing streaks, but three in a row at Lambeau Field, that's pretty tough to reconcile. And actually, I thought, Mike McCarthy talked about it today when asked. He was asked about this three-game home losing streak, and I found his answer interesting. So take a listen to that, and we'll talk about it on the other side.
Well, it's kind of hard to lump them all together, but trust me, I mean, we've been very, very successful here at Lambeau, and I can tell you that there's not a worse feeling in my coaching career walking into that tunnel, after a loss. So trust me, it hits all of us.
So, yeah, that's McCarthy on losing at home, and it's something that I don't think a lot of people probably pay much mind to or think about when it comes to the effect it has on McCarthy and the coaching staff and everyone at 1265 Lombardi when they do lose. What's funny to me is, like, we see through social media players how quickly and easily a lot of them shake off losses. I mean, there are guys who immediately after a loss are on social media talking about what they're going to do that night, or already on a plane somewhere, or, if it's a bye week, or, they're out doing whatever with their buddies. You see that on Instagram and on Snapchat, and you see it and you think, oh, yeah, I understand that they're young and they're having a good time, and this is their profession, it's their job. Just because you have a bad day at work doesn't mean you don't go out that night. But the coaching staff, and especially McCarthy, you feel, especially now, as he's been in Green Bay for so long, it made me think of something that Brett Favre said kind of towards the end of his time in Green Bay, where he basically said, and I'm obviously paraphrasing, but it was, the highs aren't nearly as high as they used to be, meaning when they win games. But the lows and the losing is a lot harder. And I think we're starting to see that probably play out a little bit with McCarthy, because they have, and he's the first to tell it, he's the first to say it, and it's true, they have set such a high standard when it comes to the fan base expecting this team to win football games. And I'm not talking just, yes, they're playoff contenders every year, they're Super Bowl contenders, as long as Rodgers is on the field, that's almost, it's a given now. But we don't really appreciate everything that goes into that. I mean, even, we on the beat who cover this team day in and day out, we're not privy to a lot of the work that goes into what these guys do to produce on the field. Yes, we have media availabilities. We're in the locker room on occasion. We are in that media auditorium asking questions. But that is such a small sliver of what is going on at 1265 Lombardi. And to put all of that into it, to put that much work, time, effort, commitment into a losing effort, the longer you're in the league, especially as a coach, especially as a head coach, I got to think that starts to kind of take its toll. And I do wonder with, you know, McCarthy's final year of his contract coming up next season, I do wonder if how much longer McCarthy is going to be around and how maybe he needs or maybe he feels like it's time for a change of scenery. And we saw it with Andy Reid in Philadelphia. He had a lot of success, obviously could never quite, you know, seal the deal as far as bringing a championship to Philadelphia. But he went to a bunch of NFC championship games, did get to a Super Bowl, and then finally he just kind of burned out and went to Kansas City and has been pretty successful there. Obviously, they haven't won a Super Bowl either, but they've won a lot of games with Andy Reid as their coach. And I do wonder if McCarthy's starting to feel that and if the organization isn't starting to feel that. Now, obviously, this is a lot of extrapolation over a one little 10-second soundbite, and I'm not saying that that's what he was talking about there in that actual press conference, but I do wonder about it, and I do kind of feel like I catch glimpses of it now and again with McCarthy, whether it's in his media availabilities, whether it's, you know, stuff we see at the games, during the games, after the games. It's just something I think has got to – it's got to play into it a little bit. I mean, the man's been here for a long time now, especially in comparison to the rest of his NFL brethren. I mean, comparatively, there are only two other coaches that have been in their positions longer than him. That's Marvin Lewis and Bill Belichick. Outside of that, it's him and Sean Payton have been in their spots equally as long. And then everybody else, you know, as far as tenure goes. So, I do find it interesting, and I do wonder if, you know, a lot of, you know, obviously we got to let the season play out, and we'll see what the offseason brings as far as whether he gets an extension or not. But like I said, it made me think about it, and it's something I have been thinking about for the last kind of month or so, just watching, you know, the coverage of the team and how people regard McCarthy and what, you know, gets generated in the press about him. I don't know. It's interesting to me. Probably not interesting to any of you, and you've probably all turned it off, so I'll get back to football here. Something I did want to touch on real briefly was the hit on the hit on Brett Hundley by T.J. Watt at the end of the game, because I've had a lot of people ask me about it. And I put up a clip on my Twitter account of T.J. after the play clearly looking around to see if he was going to get flagged. I think he had a pretty good idea that it was a helmet-to-helmet hit, and there was a good chance that he was going to get flagged, and then he didn't. And, you know, I know Mike Piera for Fox has come out and said that it was a good no-call. If you do read the letter of the rule, regarding quarterbacks, even in the pocket, when they change, it's funny how it's parsed, but it's true. The way it's written is once they change their stance from a passer to a runner, well, in other words, when they pull the ball down and get into a running position, they are fair game, essentially. Hockley kept the flag in his pocket, and that pretty much ruined that final drive because it threw everything off. You know, heard McCarthy in the post game talking about how, you know, he was late getting a call in because he had to check and make sure Hundley was okay. And then Hundley forgot to tell Jamal Williams that, you know, we're not in the 2-minute drill anymore, so don't run out of bounds. All these things. It kind of cascaded off of that hit. But, you know, I see the anger and I see people being upset about it. It's like, you know, this is exactly what we were talking about back on during the, you know, the kind of the furor over the Anthony Barr hit on Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's happening at 10,000 miles an hour. It's football. You know, the quarterback pulls the ball down and Watt goes to hit him. And these guys on the football field, especially defensive guys, they're always, you know, low man wins. And Watt's trying to get low, trying to get down. He ducks his head. Now, obviously, you know, is it form tackling? No, of course not. But he's going for a hit. And Hundley is, you know, Hundley's there too, and he ducks his head as well, which is why it's there to hit. So it's happened so fast, and I just think so many people watch this on television and watch, you know, the slow motion replay, instant replays of it. I see pictures of it on Twitter immediately after it happened, where people have clearly gone to their televisions and frozen the image and thrown it up on Twitter, and they're just all, you know, outraged about it. It's like, yeah, that's great that you've got a Zapruder style film to look at, but when it's happening, if you're on the field and you're watching this stuff happen, you have just no earthly idea how fast this all goes, how quickly it all happens. And like I said, it's a bang bang play, and I don't begrudge. I don't think. I mean, heck, to the letter of the law, there shouldn't be a penalty there. I did expect one to happen actually, because the NFL and all their referees seem to throw flags when they think something looks bad. We've seen so many of those over the last couple of years. Ever since they started tightening up the rules as far as player safety goes, it's very much, that hit looked bad, I better throw a flag. We've seen a whole lot of that, where guys have hit shoulders, not heads, but the head is snapped back, so a flag gets thrown. And as McCarthy said after the game, you don't want a flag thrown to help decide a game. You want the guys in the field to decide the game. And I think, you know, they were right. Like, again, letter of the law, they're right not to throw the flag. And, you know, a flag did not help determine the outcome. And I think any neutral observer would agree that that is the best case scenario. Now, I look forward to all your angry tweets and emails telling me I'm an idiot for saying any of this. So I'll just leave it at that. Make sure you're checking PackersNews.com for all the latest leading up to the Buccaneers game. The Packers got to start winning. You can't get to 10 wins without 5 in a row for a team that has had trouble winning one, let alone stringing together victories. So it's going to be interesting to see how this next month plays out, including the drama surrounding whether Aaron Rodgers will be back. Where else would you rather be, right? Keep it here at PackersNews.com for all the latest. Until next week, I'll talk to you here on Nagler's Never Right.